Yo, 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 America, world.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
What's going on, Phoenix? Philadelphia, send us some cheesesteaks. What's going on, Reno? And Tacoma. Chicago, send us some deep dish.
What's up, Yakima?
Des Moines, holla at us.
Des Moines, I don't know what y'all's offer, but holla at us.
Spokane, holla at us.
Boy, y'all are dumb.
Can't take y'all anywhere, send us some fresh salmon.
Yes, sir.
What is up, fam? We are officially.
I can always use a
bank
shrimp
men.
From New Orleans.
Oh, here
this
you go.
This guy right here, he's on fire, man. He's on fire. Today, gentlemen. It's officially the month of November, the 1st. We are officially ready to talk sports with the 12 men, like we always do. Before we do that, let's introduce the crew and his fellas. As always, I'm your boy Dre. And let's kick in the first check in with my guys, Mr. JQ. How you feeling this evening, sir?
I'm good. So many amendments in the Constitution. If I choose one, I choose the fifth.
One, two, three, four, five.
F-I-F-E-H,
fifth. I'm good, man. How you folks doing this evening?
Oh, you got to say, bro, you in a good mood, man. And then not only that, your boys came through Ohio State, did their thing, man. You talk about shaking up the whole college football layout. We'll talk about that too, man. But pretty interesting as well. So we'll get into that as well, man. It's a very exciting weekend on that front too. But let's check in with my other guy. We're still trying to figure out exactly what happened with him tonight. But Mr. Rob Ford, how you feel this evening, man?
Hey, man, you know.
he was out there on the scavenger hunt.
Busy. Uh-huh. All is well, ready to talk some sports on the greatest sports talk show on the planet. Let's make it do what it do.
On the planet, that's right. 424-243-9519 is always the number. The 424-243-9519 is the number. Looks like I'll get out on the board too. We'll do an update on the World Series as well. We're kind of watching that. And as always, you want to follow us on Twitter at the number 12 THMAN Sports. And then last but not least, if you go to Facebook.com/Talking Sports with the 12th Man, or if you type in 12th Man Sports, you will find us in that arena as well. But let's get this party started here. Let's get a quick update on World Series Game 7. You'll hear us making little comments here. Rob, what do you think about this, bro? What's going on, man? Thoughts?
Well, obviously the Astros up 5-1 and sitting pretty right now, but when it's bottom of the sixth, the Dodgers got two runners on, first and second. With one out here, let's see if the Dodgers can make a game. Hugh Darvish, another rough outing, his second rough outing of the series. Astros jumped all on them early, and right now they're trying to see if they can pull off the upset on the road. With a 5-1 lead here in the bottom of the sixth inning.
Yeah, man. I've been watching it. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
No. Scare away.
Yeah, I was saying I've been watching it, and yeah, you mentioned it, Darvish. Well, that's what happens when you get a fastball hitting team against a fastball pitcher. But my question for Roberts is, if you have Kershaw and he was able to go three innings, why did you not just start him? I don't quite understand. I mean, he's come in and kind of, you know, put the cap on him. So to speak, but I don't understand why they didn't just start him if that was the case. If he had that kind of gas left in the tank, you know, I don't think it would be 5-1. That's one he may have to answer for if LA can't come back.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Wow. Yeah, man.
And I think, you know, Roberts was really hoping to maybe have him available for like that 6th, 7th, 8th inning stretch or 5th, 6th, 7th inning
maybe.
Stretch.
Yeah, Bridge, long relief.
Yeah.
I can see that.
I think that's where he was hoping to use him. We all knew that he was going to have Kershaw available tonight, but I think he was really hoping to use him later in the game to set his closer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good call because you didn't expect Darvish to kind of give up that to have that rough of an evening like we talked about. So that's probably, you know, that's definitely showing you how the game is, man. And as you can see right now, Morton has kind of calmed down. And, you know, this is an opportunity for Houston. They can pull something to get their first World Series here in a minute, man. So interesting game. That first pitch was a strike, man. But, man, all
yes,
is well.
It was.
So they're trying to make them earn it a lot too, man. So get a little home cookie here. So, all right, gentlemen.
A little bit.
We're going to jump into some college football here. And I guess we're –
let's do it.
I do want to –
over base, too. I'm sure that's hurting them, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Good pitching or just good. Just man. Tough. And I got to tell you guys, too, as before we jump into the college football and everything like that, I got to say, I'd be astonished to know that Butch Jones has a job and Jim McElwain does not. That's the first thing I'm going to say, too, as far as that. I mean, just what happened as far as everything, too. But the fact that, you know, Butch Jones is still – we know he's not going to have a job at the end of the season, but you talk about just differences in programs. And we'll talk about that, too, as well, too. But it's just like a couple things that happened over the weekend, too. Obviously, with Georgia, their win. Florida pulls the trigger quickly. Tennessee is, like, you know, still – maybe that shows the difference in the two programs, two gentlemen. But let's kick it off. Number 7, Penn State, at number 24, Michigan State. It was an interesting weekend, too. A couple upsets here. But what do you think about this one? And JQ, your thoughts about this game, too, because, you know, the way that Penn State, I mean, I know it was kind of a tough
man,
game back and forth, but the comeback was pretty impressive, too. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, just a real quick sidebar on that. So, I was in Tampa for my homeboy's 40th birthday party, and it started at 7 o'clock on Saturday evening. So if you were watching that game, you know the dilemma I was in between being in the hotel room and trying to get ready. And I saw them get within, like, 5, and then I had to get in the car and jet down to where the party was. And I'm in the car, and my phone is just going off. I hear it going, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, either something really good just happened or something really bad just happened. So I get to the hotel to pick my friend up so we can go to the mall around the corner to the party. And I get to the hotel bar just enough to see them hold Penn State and seal the victory. So it was crazy. I was cussing like a sailor in the hotel room for 3 quarters. I'll just admit to that. But the Penn State Michigan State game, I think Penn State wins that game. I think Penn State comes out super angry, and they got to come out and have a good showing. And I think they got a bad taste in their mouth. I think they've been chomping at the bit to get back on the field and show people that, you know, we're still a good team. Michigan State, you know, they got a good defense, but I don't know if they have enough offensively. Saquon Barkley still is an absolute stud. That opening kickoff return took the wind out of my sails. But I think Penn State goes on the road and gets a victory. They got to. They, you know, they basically are in, you know, if they lose again, they're done. And I think they go out there. I think they make a statement against Michigan State.
Wow. Your thoughts, Rob?
Yeah, Michigan State obviously is very good on the defensive side of the football, as they always are. But they won't be able to keep up from with scoring as far as Penn State is concerned. I mean, I look for a 30-10 kind of victory for Penn State here on the road and going to get on a win. I definitely think they rebound from the loss against Ohio State.
Yeah.
Great game. All right,
game.
Number 4, Clemson at number 20, NC State. You know, Clemson is just doing their thing, man, you know, so they represent the ACC. Your thoughts on this game, Rob?
I'm going to go with an upset here. I'm going to pick NC State at home. Clemson is a team, obviously, they're ranked number 4 here in the early college football playoff. In fact, what I think is, you know, obviously Syracuse has overachieved a little bit this season, but it still should have been the team that Clemson had beat this year. I like NC State in this game in a nail-biter. I think 27-24 NC State wins at home, give Clemson their second loss in the ACC this season.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow. All right, JQ.
I'm going to go with Clemson because I'm going to look at them to try to employ the same blueprint that Notre Dame just did to NC State. They got a good mobile quarterback, and Kelly Bryant's ankle's a little bit better. And I think it will be. Being able to run the ball and having that mobile quarterback, it just caused NC State so many problems against Notre Dame last week. And I think they're going to have the same problem again this week with Clemson. And I think Clemson hears that chatter of should they be there. Yeah, they've got a decent resume, but they also maybe have the worst loss of anybody in that top six, you know, losing to Syracuse, like Rob mentioned. So I think they're on the, that kind of revenge piece too, not coming off a loss like Penn State, but a, you know, don't forget about us. We still defending national champs, and we still got some good victories, you know, in case of point Auburn. But I just don't see them losing NC State. Again, NC State, same kind of thing with Michigan State. I think they have a good defense. Chubb is just a monster. But I don't know if they can hold up against that Clemson defense on offense. So, you know, they may keep it close at home with the crowd behind them for the first two quarters, but I think Clemson pulls away in the second half.
Wow. Gotcha. Good call. A lot of good games, a lot of good ranked teams here. So we got a lot of games to discuss here. Let's talk about number 21 Stanford, number 25 Washington State. Go ahead and take that one, though, JK.
I just, you know, I'm sorry. I know Mike Leach is just, he's media gold. He just talks about pirates and all other kind of candy corn and all kind of wild stuff. But anytime you get Mike Leach on the big stage against a decent team, I just can't take him, and it hasn't worked out for him this year. And Love showed, if he plays for Stanford, he showed his Heisman candidacy about when he didn't play how bad Stanford looked. So I'm going to take Stanford. I'm not sold on Leach. I'm not sold on Falk. That air raid kind of offense works against some teams, but I don't think it works against Stanford. So I'm going to another road team. Now, I know that is against the stats, but just not sold on Mike Leach in the big game.
Nice catch. Go ahead, Rob.
J.K. feels the same way about Mike Leach as Andre feels about Bob Stoops in big games, obviously, right?
I do.
But I agree with J.K. on this one. I'm definitely going with Stanford on the road. Love running the football. Stanford is always going to be strong in the trenches, offensive and defensive line, and that's where you like this matchup because that's not where Washington State is really strong in. Obviously, they have a good college quarterback, and they're good on the perimeter, but they won't be able to compete with Stanford in the trenches. And when you can play in the trenches, that's going to travel on the road. And so I like Stanford to go on the road and win this game. This one was a tough game to predict, though, I will say that. So I like Stanford, but I still think the game is going to be close.
Yeah, like 4 points. I agree.
Good game here. Oklahoma, number 5, Oklahoma at number 11, Oklahoma State. Take it away, Rob.
I'm going with Oklahoma State at home here. I like the way they've been improved. They've improved on defense tremendously in the last few weeks. Their third down defense has been one of the best in the country here in the last few weeks. Obviously, Texas was one of those teams they went against, a team that, you know, can't score enough points. And I know they beat West Virginia, but even though West Virginia scored 39 points, Oklahoma State's third down efficiency, they're getting teams off the field on third down. So they are getting better on the offensive side of the football. On the defensive side of the football. I think they'll do more on the defensive end than Oklahoma will. This will be a dogfight, but I'm going with Oklahoma State having just enough defense to win this game.
Just a little bit. You're talking about that, man.
Just a little bit. I struggle with this game because I watched a lot of that West Virginia game. And West Virginia, they got those points off of a pick six and off of a block punt in like a 2 or 3 minute span in there. So that kind of inflated their offensive scoring against Oklahoma State. That Oklahoma State defense was playing tough. I don't like Baker Mayfield, and everybody knows I'm a Ohio State fan. That playing the flag sits real bad with me, and it would help Ohio State if they lost to get a second loss. But I feel like Baker Mayfield just has a little bit more magic left in him, and I think it's another really good close game. But I'm going to go with Oklahoma and Baker Mayfield.
Very nice. All right, let's keep this going here. Let's talk about Rob's school here, number 19, LSU, at number 2, Alabama. Woo! Rob, I don't know, bro.
Oh, man. Yeah, well, you know, it is what it is. The game won't be close. Alabama wins at least by 20 points, 30-10. LSU, I know these games, for the most part, have been decided by 10 points or less here in the last 7 years. But I just don't see that happening this year. LSU is really young. They got two freshmen on the offensive line. That's going to be really tough going against Alabama's defense. And so I think Alabama wins 30-10 in this one.
Nothing more to add to that.
That could pull the upset? That could pull the upsets or anything like that, Rob? That I could, like, surprise them or anything like that?
You know, Obviously, miracles do happen. I'll be rooting for the miracles, but I can't predict that.
I believe in me
miracles.
And you.
Hey, Kevin Garnett said when they won a championship, anything is possible.
not just starting in Tuscaloosa.
Oh, man. Rob kept it real. He said by 10. He said 31, by 20 points, 31 to 10. All right, bro.
Hey.
Oh, man.
I agree.
It is what it is. All right, let's keep it moving here. We're not going to, make Rob suffer too much here. Number 13, Virginia
right.
Tech at number 10, Miami. This is a pretty good game, too. What say you, JQ?
I think this is where the undefeated season comes to an end for Miami. They got a tough back-to-back with Virginia Tech and Notre Dame, I believe, in the next 2 weeks. Miami has just been squeaking by. You know, I mean, you can only live – so golden for so long. That Virginia Tech defense is still pretty good. They got a good young freshman quarterback as well. I'm going to go with Virginia Tech. I think the magic runs out for Miami this week. But I give Mark Richt a lot of credit for getting that program turned around as fast as he has. But that Virginia Tech defense, I think, is going to be a little bit much for them. For Rozier, I think Virginia Tech wins. I am tripping.
You
a lot of road teams.
Yeah, you are, bro. But we're letting you do it, man. I mean, it is what it is, man. You're going with your gut, man. Rob, what say you? We'll check you.
I want to say Miami keeps the magic going at home. Mark Richt's obviously doing a phenomenal job. It's going to be very interesting to see if he can get that program back to where it once was. Obviously it's not this year. But I think they hold on to win this game at home in a real close football game, 23-20 Miami.
All righty then, our last game, number 22, Arizona at number 17, USC. And, I don't have a lot to comment on this game, but, I'll let you guys comment because, again, I'm not a fan of your boy quarterback here, but we'll see. Keep it going here. Rob, your thoughts?
I'm going to go with USC on this one. I mean, I know I've been hard on them this year as being underachievers. And picked Notre Dame to beat him a couple of weeks ago. But on this one, USC, I think, even though it was Arizona State, they looked like they played their best game of the season this past week. So they did respond pretty well after following that debacle they had against Notre Dame. And Sam Darnold probably had his best game of the season last weekend as well. So I'm going to say they follow that up with a win, another good win for them, and they beat Arizona. I think they beat Arizona by at least 10 points at home.
Okay.
On a side note, did you see that report that came out that said Sam Darnold, if Cleveland got the number one pick, that he was going to stay in school? That's how you know you are dysfunctional as an organization. That dude says, you know what? I'm not going to even get paid. I'm going to just stay in school for another year and live in L.A. before I go to the mistake on the lake. So that's,
well, Sam Darnold might not even be
the
number one pick anymore, so he's just do his job.
Yeah, I hear you, but man, to even come out there and let that be known is just, oh, man, I mean, that's just like a flame torch to Cleveland.
Right now there are a lot of players in play for that number one pick.
That's true. I just wanted to throw that out there since we were talking about USC and Sam Darnold. Arizona's quarterback, and his name escapes me. That young dude looks like a throwback to Michael Vick. And since they put him in at quarterback, he has been lighting people up. And I'm just going to go with him on the strength of what he's doing, the ability to make a play when nothing else is available. That USC team, they just shoot themselves in the foot too much. Darnold makes too many bad decisions for my taste right now. I could see them winning that game, and Rob could be 100% correct. But that dude for Arizona, and I'm sorry, it's not Khalil. I forget his name. But he is just been lighting people up, and I'm going to go with him. I'm going to go with Arizona. I got all road teams except for Alabama.
All road teams.
Wow.
JQ is pulling. Man, good job, sir. All right, man, like I said, that's the college world here, and let's talk about this. So let's keep it moving here on the college football topics here. And Robert's favorite quarterback, Saban, he's happy about the college football playoff.
He knew he was a quarterback.
Oh, man. What? Go ahead, Rob.
Well, you know, I don't know if you guys saw Nick Saban's press conference, but, I mean, Nick Saban's absolutely right. I mean, this college football playoff ranking is meaningless right now. There's still a lot of football to be played. I think just about every team in the country has at least still four games to play, and a lot of college championship games still on as well. So these playoff rankings obviously don't mean a thing. So I don't think Nick Saban is even paying them. I don't, you know, I don't, you know, the question is, you know, is he unhappy that Alabama was ranked number two in the first ranking? I think Nick Saban knows this, is that there's a lot of football to be played, and everything will really eventually play itself out. There will still be another upset or 10 in college football here in the remaining 4 to 5 weeks of the season. So there's a lot that's going to change with these playoff rankings. And a lot's going to play out this weekend. There's a lot of big matchups as we just went through with these rankings, you know, involving a lot of these teams. I mean, Clemson's going against the top 20 program. Alabama's going against the top 20 program. So a lot's going to play out. I mean, Oklahoma, yeah, they have a chance to. So, I mean, there's a lot that has an opportunity to play out. I mean, I expect Georgia to win this weekend. I expect Alabama to win. And I do expect Notre Dame to win. Clemson, I still think, is a toss-up, but we'll wait and see what happens with that. Oklahoma game is a big toss-up, so we'll wait and see. There's still a lot of college football to be played. These playoffs polls mean nothing.
It mean nothing.
Yes, they don't mean anything. But the question is Nick Saban happy? Nick Saban is ecstatic because now he has another ability to walk in there and put another chip on everybody's shoulder. Remember when it was like, oh, Vanderbilt might get you, blow them out. Oh, you couldn't beat Ole Miss, blow them out. You go in there and say, they don't respect us. Look at everything that we've done. And they're going to put Georgia ahead of us? Oh, he's ecstatic. He's got their full attention right now. Based off that, like, you know, we can handle our business, don't get me wrong, but they don't, it's us against the world. I told you not to listen to the media. They don't have you number one after they blew all that smoke up your butt. Let's go out here and get it. He is ecstatic about it because he has the ability now that, you know, that motivation to use, like that Michael Jordan, you just make up stuff when everybody knows you're the greatest, but you just make up stuff to get yourself going. That's Nick Saban. And now he's got that fodder of being number two. Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's ecstatic about it.
I'm ready to play some football now, JQ. What?
I'm just saying, man. He's got to be going.
There
you
go. I don't know if they can make it, guys.
so you got to add the list to it.
Yeah, I know. I can't even do that correctly. But, man, that's what it feels like, man. No respect, man. I don't even know how we're going to play this game, man. The way he be talking like, man, his team's ready to play, man. Yeah, that's pretty cool, man. I agree with you. I mean, it's like, you know, that's definitely – a great point, JQ, that they're going to be ready to go. Anything can be used for fodder. And I guess from your perspective, do you think it was, and this is for you, JQ, do you think you agree with kind of how the playoff rankings were, or what do you think about that?
I don't think you can quibble with it, and I know people will be shocked to hear me say that, but you got to look at the fact that they've always said that they're looking at the whole body of work. So if you look at that, Georgia probably right now still has the best victory going into South Bend and beating Notre Dame after Notre Dame has just waxed USC and NC State. So if you wanted to flip-flop them, I wouldn't be mad. But I think Georgia and Alabama were your top two, especially after Penn State lost to Ohio State. And then you look at 3 and 4, Notre Dame has looked really good. And I know that takes a lot for me to, you know, eat some crow because I'm not a Notre Dame believer given what they've been doing. But the proof is in the pudding on the field. You know, they lost to the number one ranked team in the rankings, you know, right now by a point at home, and they've been just killing other people. So having them in the top four, I can't be mad at. The one that people wanted to maybe quibble with is Clemson, but you got to understand, I think they have 5 wins against the top 25 or power five ranked teams. So, I mean, they've got the worst loss, don't get me wrong, but when you talk about that fourth spot, you're splitting hairs, but they've got a whole lot of really good wins. You know, Ohio State has lost to Oklahoma, so it's hard to put Ohio State over Oklahoma. If I was an Oklahoma fan and they jumped Ohio State in front of them, I'd be pissed. Like, well, we beat them in Columbus. How did you put them above us? I mean, Iowa State we thought was a bad loss, and then Iowa State goes and beats number 4 TCU. So that loss doesn't really look as bad right now. So to me, like you said earlier, Rob, it doesn't really matter. That top six, you know, I think you can kind of play with if you want to, but they're in about the right order, and there's so much football left to be played that it'll sort itself out. But initially, given – you know, the strength of schedules and whatnot, and maybe you could argue Alabama doesn't have really the the resume, but when you look at Alabama play, you know they're a top four team. Like, if you put them on a neutral field, how many teams would be, you know, favorite over them? I don't think really anybody, if you want to be honest with yourself. So it doesn't bother me. You know, you got so much more left to play. And I want to say this, it's only been a small percentage, like 20-25% of the teams that have been in the initial top four that have remained in that top four in the final ranking. So at a point where it's my team, I almost don't even want to be in that top four because, again, I echo Rob's comments, so much football left to be played. Upsets are going to happen. Just take care of your business. Some things are going to happen in front of you, and then you have a position to be there in the end.
Just comments are not too happy about that. But, Rob, your thoughts, bro?
Well, I mean, obviously, as I said earlier, a lot of things are still going to play itself out. There's still a lot of football to be played. And I think, you know, for the most part, if you go back and look at the last 4 years or last 3 to 4 years of the way these college football playoff rankings have shaped up, the question marks have always been about that last team getting in, who's number four, and is they were they the most deserving. For the most part, the top three teams were always solidified, but it might have been a question or two about who that number four team was. So if you look at the current playoff rankings, it's pretty much the same. Georgia and Alabama have clearly looked like the two best teams in the country. And Kirby Smart has pretty much built that Georgia team into the same mold as, you know, sitting under Nick Saban there at Alabama. You look at the – you can make a lot of arguments about Notre Dame. You can make a lot of arguments for Notre Dame and Clemson. You can make some arguments against them as well. Obviously, I'm not a big fan of the game that Clemson lost. And also, one of the things I think about here is if you're going to look at all the one-loss teams here, you know, who had the worst loss and who had the best loss? Notre Dame lost at home. I know it was only 1 point to Georgia, but they were still at home. So that's something that's something I would always, you know, factor into the equation as well. If you look at the one-loss teams, probably the team with the best loss is Penn State, going on the road. And, you know, for most part had Ohio State on the ropes the entire game and only lost by 1 point. But they don't have the wins that Clemson and Notre Dame have. So, I mean, you know, but as far as having the best loss, obviously, I think Penn State is the team that had the best loss because, to me, I think Penn State win that game if they're on a neutral field or if that game is in Happy Valley or Nappy, whatever it's called. Happy Valley.
Not Nappy Valley. Happy Valley.
Happy Valley. but I think Penn State is the better team of the two. And like I said, if that game is on a neutral field or if that game was in Penn State, I think Penn State wins. But just so happened they have to play that game in Columbus, and just like we predicted on last week, you know, due to that game being in Columbus, we figured that Ohio State will win the game. Obviously, JT Barrett had an unbelievable ending to that game with 16 straight completions, 13 straight in the fourth quarter alone. But but you have to admit that that's a really good loss for Penn State. Ohio State's one loss is at home to Oklahoma, so it'll be kind of hard to put them in the mix at the moment. And so the bottom line is everything is going to still play itself out, and, you know, we'll see who these last four teams is. There's still some undefeated teams that could possibly make their way up to the top, but we'll see. More than likely, we probably will have probably 2 to 3 one-loss teams. Obviously, if Georgia and Alabama go undefeated, they will have to play in the SEC championship game. So even one of those teams will at least have one loss this season. So more than likely, we'll still have 2 to 3 one-loss teams at least that makes the playoffs here.
So that's an interesting question, and a lot of people have talked about it. Do both of those teams get in if they run the table and they meet in Atlanta and they have a really good competitive Ohio State, Penn State kind of game? Do both of them get in? And then the other question is, if Georgia wins and you look at Alabama's resume, I mean, they passed the eye test, no doubt. But if you just look at it on paper, the resume they're going to have in terms of who they play throughout the season, if they lose that game to Georgia, it's not going to be great. Do you think they'll have the stones to not include Alabama if they don't win the SEC?
Well, that's going to be very intriguing. I think LSU and Auburn is going to have to play a big role in that, in how LSU and Auburn finish the season. If LSU and Auburn both end the season with 3 losses, there's a chance that Alabama could still remain in the mix for that. But it's going to really depend on how LSU and Auburn finish this season, how strong they are going down the stretch. Now, it's a good chance. Auburn has already lost two games. Auburn, mm-hmm. if they lose to Georgia and Alabama, that would be four lost teams. And mm-hmm. It's really going to come down to where those two teams finish up in the rankings from Auburn and Alabama standpoint. Now, the good thing that Ohio State has going for them is that Ohio State, even though Michigan has fallen apart, they still got a game against Michigan, and they still had a Big Ten championship game if they knock off an undefeated Wisconsin team, which will still be highly ranked, even though they hadn't played anybody. But that still will be a big win for Ohio State. And it's going to be really intriguing going forward. I still say that at some point, I think Notre Dame slips up again. I don't know who. I think Clemson slips up before the season's over. And so that's going to be it's going to be really intriguing to see who these teams are going down the stretch. And Oklahoma State is another team with only one loss that could play themselves right back into this thing too.
Yep, that's very true. Anything else you want to add to that, JQ, as we wrap up the college football portion of the show?
Yeah, and I mean, everybody knows I'm a Buckeye fan, but I worry about them this week at Iowa, and not because Iowa's tough, but you get all the adulation. JT Barrett was great, played himself back in the Heisman. You got to go to Iowa and play them, then knowing you got to play Michigan State next week, and then, of course, finishing off with Michigan. They play Illinois in the middle, but that's a tomato can, so we're just not going to even worry about that one. But I worry about them, you know, being able to flush that win, so to speak, and move on to Iowa and come out with that same kind of intensity. So I'm pretty worried about this Iowa game. But you're right. They have a chance. Everybody has a chance, is the bottom line, to play themselves in or out because everybody has still a decent, some decent competition left on the schedule. So, you know, it's good to debate. It's just for debate, and it's good for fun. It's good for television. That's why they do it. That's the only reason. But there's really no reason to have these rankings right now. I mean, it really isn't.
Yep. So I guarantee you this. These same four teams will not be in the playoffs.
Right.
Some of these four teams will probably be in the playoffs, but the same four will not be in the playoffs.
Agreed.
We know there's going to be some changes.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. All right, we have officially got through the college football portion of the show, as well as our quick baseball update. Now let's talk about NFL. A lot of moves with the trade deadline, which has been a pretty exciting couple days here.
Oh, wow.
But let's talk about some moves here. And the Browns, and the question is, do the Browns need to fire their entire front office? Shout out to my cousin Mario. He's a huge Cleveland fan. Again, I don't know why, but that's just what he does.
Oh, man, why you put your boy on blast like that?
Yeah.
He put himself on blast.
He's pretty much been on that. But, do the Browns need to fire entire front office, JQ? They need to fire it, man.
I mean, it's been such a debacle, you know, with what they've had happen and the disconnect between them and Hugh Jackson with everything that's come out. And, did they celebrate prematurely and they didn't copy the NFL on the email? And just the ridiculousness of what they have happened. You want to have some continuity because you can never rebuild unless you commit to a direction and kind of give it a chance to stay the course and see if it'll work. But I don't know how you bring them back after what's happened this year and everything that's gone on. I just don't. I don't know how you bring them back. I think they're going to have to start over. I think they had a good plan of trying to get analytics into it and get a more structured plan for it. But, I mean, if you're trying to sell to that fan base and say that we're for real and you've passed on a Wentz and you've passed on Deshaun Watson, and not to mention A.J. McCarron, I believe in A.J. McCarron, but and then you blow that trade, it's hard to keep those guys there when you don't make that deal and you didn't make those picks and those other guys, they aren't only playing well, they're flourishing in other systems. Mm. I don't know how you bring them back when that happens. I mean, that's a serious indictment of these quarterbacks when everybody knows the struggle that Cleveland has had getting a franchise quarterback. And you had not one, you had multiple opportunities to get a franchise quarterback and you couldn't get it done. How do you bring them back?
Well, I mean, that was a good question. And I'm going to let Rob answer, a couple things, too, about that as well, because they always say hindsight is 20/20, gentlemen, and this is more like hindsight. This is more like just making bad decisions. Now, again, This last draft, it's maybe a little too early to tell because we got to wait for 3 years to kind of see what happens soon because they got a lot of talent. I'll give them credit for getting talent. But, again, it does come down to getting that franchise quarterback. Whenever you see what Deshaun Watson is doing and everyone and mama just had a good feeling about him, but, you know, feeling is going to be nothing but intangibles and whatnot playing in the SEC and Alabama in the SEC, you know, he's done some things too. So it's just been one of those situations where, you know, man, it does kind of look like that. And then, you know, you pass on Carson Wentz last year. So, again, you're not making good moves right now, Cleveland, and that's why I'm sure Rob's going to kind of go into more depth about this and his thoughts about that as well. So, Rob, go ahead and get ahead of your thoughts on this as well, sir.
Well, yeah, I mean, you hit it right there on the nail right there. Carson Wentz last season. I mean, you can really see Carson Wentz and, to some extent, even Jared Goff last season. So you missed on two opportunities to grab a quarterback last year. Mm-hmm. And now this year, Deshaun Watson, at the level he's playing, I mean, man, the way he's playing this season, you might have the next Aaron Rodgers in the making if he keeps this going.
Wow.
But, yeah, this is three quarterbacks. We know for two of them look like Pro Bowlers for sure, and that's Carson Wentz and Deshaun Watson. They look like future Pro Bowlers so far in their career. And at worst, Jared Goff looked like a solid quarterback. It's been a complete debacle for this organization for quite some time, not just this trade scenario yesterday that was supposed to happen that didn't happen. The organization from top to bottom has been horrific here for the last several years, and something's got to be done. And unfortunately, Hugh Jackson, I'm sure, is going to be part of it as well, along with a huge shakeup in the front office as well. I mean, do you even see a win on that schedule this year? So that's going to be interesting.
Probably against Cincinnati.
You think that badly of your team?
Man, listen, I do not believe in Andy Dalton, but that's a subject for another day. But again, like I talked about earlier,
and they must don't believe in AJ either. They're getting ready to trade him.
They're trading in division. But again, to the point earlier, for right now, the top-rated quarterback
make a trade with each other.
For maybe a future quarterback, that's crazy. But also to the thing about Sam Darnold as well, when he comes out and unless it be known or leaked that, you know, and you're right, he cannot be the number one overall pick. I'm not going to say that's going to happen. But we always talk about in all our other shows about how quarterbacks artificially rise in the process, that if he comes out and let it be known through his people that if you guys get the number one pick, he pulls a John Elway and you're like, I'm not going there, you know, in week 8 of the college football season, that's another indictment on that organization and that front office. So, I mean, all those things considered together is just such a bad look. I don't know how you can say as an ownership that you have, you know, 100% confidence that they're going to get this thing turned around. I just don't know how you do it. I just don't know how you bring them back. I don't know who you go get that's better. I don't know who wants to go work in Cleveland, you know, because they feel like it's not going to work out correctly either way it goes because it's Cleveland. I know everybody wants to take that shot at the next step to become a GM and be in the front office somewhere if they can elevate their role from where they currently are. But I just don't know I just don't know if you can do that. I mean, they just look inept. And I think that's the best word for them. They look inept.
You know, it's kind of tough, too, because, you know, like I said, I really do think, guys, that they did a good job on this draft. They really did. They got a lot of talent, guys. They got a lot of good players. Now, obviously, it's too early to know about Deshaun Kizer here. I mean, you know, they try to get him going, and he may not be just ready just yet. Myles Garrett, you know, he's been having some challenges with injuries. But you got to admit, they got talent. Now, again, are we kind of paying for the sins of the father because they didn't get it right at the same time? Like we talked about, you missed before. You missed Wentz, you missed on Watson, you know, and Goff, as Rob said. So it's tough to kind of like totally say, you know, man, this sucks. But, you know, it may be too early to tell for a couple of things too, you know, even though the ineptness and maybe, you know, they've got, you know, a master plan that we don't know about, you know. But, again, out the gate, it does look like the same old, you know, Browns. But you're just hoping, I'm trying, Mario, you're hoping some way, somehow that, you know, it's just one of those situations where, you know, hey, you know, we got some talent. We'll see how it plays out for sure, man. You know, they
one
trust the process.
Well,
yeah,
Miles
ahead.
Garrett pick, I mean, you can't argue with that pick. I mean, they,
I know,
he was
I'm
surefire number one pick in the draft this past right. year. And when he has played this year, he's been impressive.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's you can't argue with that pick. But it's
right.
that second first-round pick is where they made the mistake in not taking that shot at Deshaun Watson. That's mm-hmm. where the value was for Watson. And you passed on him right there. And the kid, the tight end from Miami, they
yeah.
got in the later first round. There's no arguments with that. It's a kid with a lot of potential as well mm-hmm. at the tight end position. But you had a chance to get Watson at a value spot for your organization, and you missed on it. And then the value was there last year for Winton Golf, and you missed on that too. And so that's where the arguments come. It's not on Myles Garrett. That the value for number one was Myles Garrett. That was the smart pick for this year's draft. But, man, that second first rounder, you blew it again.
And one other thing. You cut Joe Hayton, and he goes to Pittsburgh, and he looks like Joe Hayton. And you didn't get anything for him. So that's another log onto the fire of what are you doing? You cut Joe Hayton and didn't get anything for him, and he went to a division rival and is playing very well for that division rival for the Steelers. And I hate to admit it, but he is. So it's not just the quarterbacks. You let go of a Pro Bowl cornerback, and you didn't get anything for him. Like, these moves just pile on top of themselves, and, you know, you just can't leave that out of the equation. You look at the sum total of what they're doing, and it's like, what are you doing?
They have to stop using their heads for other than hat racks up there in Cleveland.
Wow.
All right.
All right. Gentlemen, we got about 3 minutes and 50-something seconds here, and we spent a lot of time talking about Cleveland. So there you go. Man.
Yep. We want to apologize to our
crazy.
Listeners.
Last time ever.
Oh, man. I will say this as we wrap this up, too. You know, I give them a small dose of credit because – you know, you talk about trusting the process. They could have made a trade. They could have said, hey, we're going to trade for a quarterback. They didn't do that, guys. They kind of stuck their guns.
Well, they traded for Brock
Osweiler.
I was
going
to
say.
They tried. They just blew it.
I was going to say.
They gave up a second round
of
men.
That's another thing as far as the netness. But, again, I was going to say, I was getting around to that, Rob. Thanks for blowing that for me, man.
I'm sorry.
Except for the Brock Osweiler. And, again, oh, yeah, that didn't turn out well for me either. So, I mean, you know, again, we'll talk about some moves here. We got about 2 minutes and 57 seconds here. I wanted to get to OT here. Get that set up, Rob, and I guess we'll talk about fantasy shout-outs the first part of the OT portion because I know we're going to finish talking about a lot of the trades that actually happened too. So go ahead with that, bro.
Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning into our live portion once again. We'll be back on air live on next Wednesday. Once again, it'll be next Wednesday night. It'll be November 8th, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Obviously, more football. So we will be covering it all on next Wednesday night. We're getting ready to go into our OT portion. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of our show live. So click on the same link. On tomorrow, we still have more football we're going to cover in the OT portion, maybe some NBA as well. So definitely click on this link on tomorrow to get the rest of our football coverage and predictions for a couple of big games for this weekend. Good night, people.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you for tuning in to us and like I said, enduring our Cleveland Browns talk. But they were so ridiculous this week. We had to give them some airtime because, I mean, we just wouldn't be responsible as journalists if we didn't. Make sure you download this podcast and listen to the OT portion, and we'll holler at you next week. Holler at you.
Yep. Yeah. We'll finish the 90 seconds here, Rob. So we can spend the last part of the show talking about fantasy shout-outs here. Hopefully you can got those right in front of you, sir. Then we'll talk about the trades here. So go ahead, boss.
All right. Let's get to the fantasy shout-outs. Thank you all for competing and, of course, our fantasy leagues this week. And let's start out with the fantasy basketball shout-outs. We had three winners from this past week that had 7-1 victories in fantasy basketball. Saints Pelicans 23, Rono with a 7-1 victory over Madhouse on Madison. Once again, Saints Pelicans 23 is Rono from New Orleans with a 7-1 victory. Matthew from Indianapolis is Naptown Unibrows, went 7-1 over Anthony Davis and New 23. And also a co-host, Ohio Players, JQ, with a 7-1 win over the Drute. So we had three winners, big winners in fantasy basketball this past week. And Saints Pelicans 23, Ronald from New Orleans was still in first place. I think his team has a 15-1 record thus far in fantasy basketball. All right, let's get to the fantasy football shout-outs and talking sports league number one. Chris from Orlando, Florida, the phenomenal one, with a 186.38 to 101.12 victory over Lions King. Yours truly, Black and Gold, 7-1, still holding down first place in that league. League number two, Kevin from New Orleans, Kid Kev 23, 154.18 to 103.58, overturned down for what? EP Diablos, Willie from El Paso, Texas, and 7-1 record, still holding, well, he's holding out first place in league number two. League number three, Ricardo from Austin, Texas, with a 127.28 victory to 54.22 over Nola for Life. He had the biggest win of the week. And co-host JQ in first place, Ohio player, 7-1. All right, and lastly.
Congrats, bro.
Yeah, appreciate you.
And league number four, Andre's team, my co-host, with a big 172.98 to 77.46 over Blurs Flew South. Andre, you didn't have to do them like that.
Yes,
yours
I did.
Truly, my team, Purple Knights, 5-3, holding down first place in that particular league. Those are the fantasy shout-outs for the week. Thanks for competing, people.
And as a side note, don't ever sit Deshaun Watson now because, yeah, I did it. And he went bat, you know what, crazy in Seattle. I didn't see that coming. Good Lord have mercy.
Man, wow. He had four or five touchdowns every week.
Yeah, man, I who knew?
Four.
I didn't know he was going to go in Seattle and do that.
Yeah. I mean, that's tough to predict, bro. That's the thing about fantasy. We've had some. Alex Smith is going to have a rough night. He has freaking poor touchdowns. So I'm done, like, listening to what they say, man. Just, you know, go with your gut, and, you know, you'll close up a lot, too, man. Schuster.
Schuster.
I was going to pick him up.
Yep.
And I decided to go a different direction. And then he goes off, you know, because they're like, oh, he's not going to do that well against, you know, he's, you know, whatever, he's a rookie. That it shows you, man, what
yeah.
people know, man. So this is one of those crazy things, too, man. So. It is what it is, bro. But appreciate that. Marcy wanted to tell you, too. Good game, Rob. I know she was a little upset about a couple things, too, but she's trying to hold on, man. So it's just funny how she's hanging in and having a good time as well, too.
Thanks
man.
For
so,
hanging in there, Marcy.
Yeah.
There you go, Marcy.
She's doing her thing, man. Yeah, so she's going to play me this week. So
really appreciate
it's all
you
good.
Beating your boy, beating Birds Flew South last week.
Yeah.
Hey, where you from, Marcy, son?
Yeah. I think she's playing you. She's playing me. Then she's gonna play you again the following week too, Rob. So it's gonna be fun. All right, gentlemen, let's have some fun here. Let's talk about this. So there's been some interesting trades here, and I guess the question we're gonna, you know, top it off here is who wins the Kelvin Benjamin trade? And I got to go back too because you seem to got dysfunction because. You know, at the time, the Bills gave up on Sammy Watkins, and for whatever reason, injuries, whatever, and they replaced Sammy Watkins with Kelvin Benjamin. So is it kind of like they're realizing the error of their ways, or is it just like, you know, it didn't fit, or that's kind of a 1A, 1B question too. But JQ, who wins in the trade here, if you will, sir?
Well, I find it funny that they Sammy Watkins, they were worried about his health, and then they traded for Kelvin Benjamin, who Carolina gave up on because they worried about his health. So I don't know if they know what the next game is. I think Sammy is maybe a better specimen. But for now, given where, you know, that Zay, the rookie, hasn't really panned out for him, and Jordan Matthews has got hurt right before the start of the season. So in the short term, you got to remember that the GM and I believe the offensive coordinator both came over from Carolina. So they're familiar with Kelvin Benjamin. And he has an opportunity to step into a role and flourish there because they do not have a number one wide receiver. Zay Jones it is. So in the short term, I say Buffalo. Because if I look at Carolina, you got, you know, Olsen on the IR. You don't know what you got yet in my Buckeye and Curtis Samuel. You know, they say they were trying to open it up and having Funchess and Kelvin Benjamin on the team is redundant and they were having too many people coming to the box. So they wanted to be able to spread people out so they can get some more space for McCaffrey and Samuels, Curtis Samuel. But so I don't know yet for them if that's going to work out in the short term, because, you know, Kelvin Benjamin and Cam Newton had a good rapport. And he's going to, it's going to take time for Benjamin to build that with Tyrod. So we'll see, but I still think with them surprising people sitting, I think at 5-2 and getting a number one wide out for them, I think in the short term, but in the long term, I'm not sure because, you know, his health injury, health situation, I believe he's on the books for one more year. So it'll have him for next year. Short term, yes. Long term, I think it's still up in the air.
Rob, Cam was not happy either, man. He was pretty pissed off about that too, man. So, yeah, that was crazy, man. So your thoughts on that, Rob?
Well, I think definitely in the short term, this is a win for Buffalo. Buffalo, this is the best-looking team that they've had in a while. They're really getting it done on the defensive end. They're near the top in every defensive category this season. So Sean McDermott has definitely put his footprint on his football team, especially on that side of the football. And they're taking care of the football. Tyrod Taylor is taking care of the football. They're not explosive offensively, but they're doing what they have to do to win football games. And obviously you give him a weapon now that you can utilize on the perimeter, take advantage of his size a little bit in the red zone a little bit more. So this definitely, I think, improves Buffalo's chances possibly. I still think the Patriots find a way to win that division as they always do. But, you know, this could be the year where Buffalo finds a way to sneak into the playoffs this year as a wild card. So I think it's a move for your organization. I think it's a good sign for your fans that, hey, we're playing in this, we're in this thing to compete. And I think if you're the Panthers, obviously, as JQ mentioned, that Ron Rivera mentioned this in several of his press conferences, they want to get more speed on the football field. And he and Devin Funchess were starting at wide receiver, and they have very similar skill sets. And Rivera wants to get more speed on the football field. But I think obviously Benjamin was a guy that Cam Newton was comfortable with as well. So I think this is a big loss for Carolina, you know, especially a guy that your quarterback looked upon in clutch situations. So I think it's definitely a loss in the short term for Carolina and a win in the short term for Buffalo for sure.
Yep.
Mm. Good call. Good call. All right, gentlemen, let's keep this moving here too. Like I said, I know I was kind of making some little jokes about Cam, but, you know, two interesting directions for these squads. And like you said, Rob, it looks like Buffalo's going all in as far as this too, man, because, you know, you talk about a surprising team at first, but then they actually put some things together. I like what you said, too, as far as red zone JQ. Tyrod can throw it up, and you got, like, a freaking, what, 6'6" wide receiver to make some plays on that too, man. So, you know, give them just enough, man. That's a solid team, man. So, even though, like you said, Rob thinks, you know, we still think that the Patriots are going to get that division, but, you know, Bills aren't going away quietly, I would say, for sure. All right. Another exciting move that everyone was texting and hitting up about, the hotline bling was going nuts, was the Patriots trading for Garoppolo. And I guess the question is, and I'm curious, Rob, I'm curious if San Francisco's like, please, you know, to the Patriots about queuing up, the quarterback, because it seems like the Patriots always get, like, they always draft a quarterback. I'm figuring out the strategy, guys. They'll draft a quarterback, and they'll just pick up all the other players throughout this, you know, if you, like, want to discard a player, and they'll just pick up, you know, your trash, turn their trash into gold, man, and then they'll turn that, you know, pick or player that they draft into, like, another pick, like, later on, which is crazy, man. So, you know, again, you know, I'm not like you're, like, hating on Bill Belichick, but it does seem like this is kind of a familiar pattern, if you will, you know, fleecing, you know, the Texans out of Ryan Mallett and whatnot, too, and then, you know, a couple things, too, but I guess, why did the Patriots trade Garoppolo, I guess, is a question, Rob. Yeah.
Well, I think I think one of the reasons the Patriots looked at it as an opportunity for Garoppolo as well, and you have to respect them for making that decision. They could have held on to him, but Brady he's made it clear that he has no intentions of retiring no time soon, and I mean they're going to give him every opportunity to still be the quarterback for the Patriots for the foreseeable future here for the next 2 or 3 years. And guess what? The Patriots get a second-round pick in this trade. They'll have another opportunity to draft another quarterback to develop behind Tom Brady. And so they'll be in position. They will be they will still be in a good position whenever it's time for Tom Brady to retire. They're going to have a boatload of draft picks going forward here for the next few years. They will be able to find a quarterback that they can develop. They'll be ready to take Tom Brady's place. Not to say that they're going to find somebody as good as Tom Brady, but they will have they'll be in a position to find someone that will be able to take Tom Brady's spot when he's ready to hang up his cleats. So I mean, I think it's a smart move. They just continue to build upon their draft picks and things of that nature. And you can always try to find a decent veteran to back up Brady for the time being. They traded Jacoby and they traded Garoppolo this year. That's interesting.
That's what I'm talking about. They may have
two quarterbacks that they traded away. They're going to go to other teams and be starters. That's unbelievable. And so I mean, they're stockpiling draft picks, and I think it's a win-win for both organizations. I really do.
You think that?
That Brissett trade is not looking as great as that. I mean, Dorsett can't even get on the field for them. And I know it's hard for a wide receiver. But I think the ultimate underlying piece is that they couldn't keep Garoppolo. He was going to be a free agent, and he had no intentions of signing there and spending another 2-3 years, you know, being Tom Brady's caddy. So you got to give New England a lot of credit for extracting value, because they have traded him early in the summer and maybe got a first-round pick. They might have. I don't know if those stories were true, that somebody was actually trying to get him a first-round pick for Garoppolo. Maybe so, maybe not. But they still got a second-round pick. And you look at it from the San Francisco standpoint of – San Francisco is going to be drafting in the top 3 or 4. So you're basically looking at a 35, 36 pick. That's basically just a late-round, first-round pick. So I wouldn't even – you know, it's technically the second round, but, I mean, it's just an extension when you're that top of the second round. It's an extension of the first round, the end of the first round. So I think it's a good move for New England, getting decent value for somebody that's still somewhat, you know, pretty much unproven, to get that kind of a high pick from San Francisco. And let's remember, like you said, brought up Mallett. Let's not forget Castle, where they kind of flourish in that New England system and go somewhere else and don't do as well. I'm not saying that's going to happen for Garoppolo, but I'm just going off the history. So if I'm New England and I get a high second-round pick for him and I knew I couldn't re-sign him anyway, I mean, why not do that? I mean, and then San Francisco in a counter move, you know, releases Brian Hoyer to create a spot for him. And then Brian Hoyer, who's familiar with the system, goes to be Tom Brady's backup, and the Patriots' backup, sorry. So it's like, you know, they basically got a second-round pick and a backup quarterback. And, I mean, for all we talk about Brian Hoyer, he's not a starter, but if something happens and he has to do some spot relief in that system, can he do a decent job until Brady, if he gets nicked up and comes back? I think so. You know, he can't play 16 games, but he can play 2 or 3 and keep the ship afloat and go 1-2 or 2-1. I think he can. That's a great move by New England.
Yeah. Good calls. And I guess as I'm wrapping this up, too, because you wonder, I guess, if the 49ers are pretty much saying that, you know, hey, we're not going to go the young route. We're kind of ready to win a little quicker than possible because, you know, they are going to have a higher pick, as you mentioned. So maybe they don't trust the quarterbacks coming out, or, you know, Shanahan may be hearing little whispers as far as, hey, we got to get some wins here, because, you know, for them to make that move says a lot about that as well. Like, you know, I was kind of joking about the please, please, please. Maybe there was a little smoke behind that as well, too, gentlemen, because they're going to have a high draft pick. And then, again, they didn't get Deshaun Watson, much to my father-in-law's dismay, and to see that. And then they're like, okay, so we'll keep an eye on that, too, man, so. All right, let's wrap this up because we're getting close to the top of the hour here. Do you trust the Eagles is the question. Do you trust the Eagles, Rob?
I would say when you look at them from an offensive standpoint, the weapons is there. Obviously, you may have some concern along the offensive line right now. Obviously, you make a trade that came out of nowhere, getting Jay Ajayi, so you had a little bit of toughness in the ground game. For them as well. I'm going to say I do trust them. I think they're definitely winning that division. The Cowboys, obviously, the last couple of weeks have looked really good, but it's a big question mark on whether or not Zeke Elliott is going to be playing until week 15 as of right now. So I definitely think the Eagles are definitely a playoff team and definitely have a shot of being a 1 or 2 seed. And the Houston Astros are your World Series champions here, people. 5-1 win in game number 7. Congratulations to the Houston Astros winning the 2017 World Series. But, wow. I think the Eagles, the Giants are not the team in that division. The Redskins are not the team. And if Zeke Elliott is not playing, you're going to see the Cowboys fall off a little bit more. So I think the Eagles are definitely your NFC East champions. The way they're playing defense and the weapons they have on offense, I think they definitely get the job done.
Try some of these big sprays from the Astros with Brandon McCann and Maven. Man, it's killing me. Rob, thanks for that, Rob. JQ hit us up about the text man about Ajayi and what's been happening too. So this is an interesting move because I was kind of shocked, honestly. Do you trust the Eagles, JQ? Yeah, go ahead, bro.
I thought it was a little redundant and already having Blunt. I feel like they're very similar in running back styles and the way they approach the game. The thing for me, I think they can win that division, especially with Zeke, being gone. I think that really opens up a path for them. But if in terms of trusting them to get to the Super Bowl, I don't know if I say I trust them because that Jason Peters loss is a very, very big loss along that offensive line. And I was shocked that if Dwayne Brown was available from the Texans and he went to Seattle, that as opposed to getting Ajayi when you already have Blunt, why not try to swing that trade for Dwayne Brown and shore that up and go all in right now and make a run for it like we talked about with Buffalo doing with Kelvin Benjamin. But in terms of winning their division, I think, yes, I trust them. But in terms of winning the NFC, I don't know if I can say I trust them because I think that Peters loss is going to be a really big hit, and I don't know if they have enough in-house to, get somebody to play to the level he was playing at. So I'm not sure, but I'll just combine the other ones. I think they still beat the Cowboys because of the Zeke news. And the Cowboys, I don't think are as – I mean, they're somewhat physical. I mean, the offensive line has taken a step back, and we talked about it. But that Philadelphia defensive line is very deep, and they rotate a lot of players in and out, and they're fresh in the fourth quarter. So I think they beat the Cowboys, not by a lot, 6-7 points. But I do trust the Eagles to win the NFC East.
Good call. All right, can the Eagles match the Cowboys physicality, JQ?
I say yes.
Wow.
Rob? Without Zeke, yes.
Wow. Rob?
I'm going to definitely agree. I say yes as well. Now, the Cowboys' offensive line and quietly, the defensive line has been very good as well. The Cowboys won the league leaders in sacks as well, so they've been getting the job done in the trenches on both sides of the football. But I definitely think the Eagles can definitely match their physicality. And then I think the Eagles, I think they can go even one step further. The Eagles has a better passing game than the Cowboys too, so I think they're a little bit more dynamic in a lot of things that they can do.
Just want a little Big Daddy Kane reference. I get the job done out there, man. That's what it's all about. All right.
Okay.
Let's talk about the NFL predictions here, and let's kick it off too with Atlanta at Carolina, JQ.
Oh, man, this is a tough one because I just don't know what is wrong with Atlanta. And I know it was a rainstorm in New York, but even before then, the Buffalo and Miami games, you said it, and I think the thing that's really going to hurt Carolina is, even though that defense is back with Kurt Coleman coming back and Kuechly coming back from the concussion, what does Cam do mentally without having Kelvin Benjamin as his security blanket with Olsen being on IR? I think this has got to be Atlanta's got to win with them being down those two weapons before they can figure it out and try to figure out how to use Samuel now in a more elevated role because you already see how they're using McCaffrey. And Cam always plays Atlanta tough. But I feel like he may take a step back in the short term until he figures out new life without Benjamin. So I'm going with Atlanta.
Yeah. Good, Rob.
I agree. And if you really look at the way Carolina has played at home this season, they've actually been a better road team than they have been at home. They've been a debacle at home. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, the Saints went in there and whipped them by like 3 touchdowns. And somebody else went in there and whipped them shortly after that. And then they go on the road and they beat New England. And I can't remember, there was another team that went on the road and beat. That was a pretty good team as well. But they have not played well at
Detroit.
Detroit. They went on the road and beat Detroit. They have not played well at home, plus the fans are really booing Cam Newton. So, I mean, the fans are the environment, Dale, is pretty volatile in Carolina right now. And then, obviously, the situation with Cam Newton and Kelvin Benjamin doesn't help the situation. So I think Atlanta goes on the road and wins this football game at least by 5 to 7 points.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Good call. All right. Let's move on to the Chiefs at Dallas here. Your thoughts on this, Rob? Good game.
Well, obviously, the way it's looking right now, Zeke Elliott won't be playing. And so I think that's a big blow to the Cowboys and what they can do. Obviously, they have the two backup running backs, but they won't be able to bring to the table what Zeke Elliott does. I think the Chiefs are going on the road and win this game. If Zeke Elliott all of a sudden plays, I may change that. But as of right now, I can only go off of what's in front of me. And he's scheduled not to play, so I'm going to go with the Chiefs and go on the road and win.
Nice.
Go
ahead.
I'm gonna go with Dallas, and I know Kansas City has played well, but I'm looking at them in that loss to Pittsburgh. And that game against Denver, they should have blown Denver out with all the mistakes that Simeon made, and that was a close game that should not have been a close game in Kansas City against Denver. I feel like that Chiefs defense, you know, especially that secondary, is kind of coming back, and Marcus Peters is just a knucklehead, and he's not as good as he was last year. He had a good strip, don't get me wrong, but I think he can be beaten. I think Dez can exploit that. And I think, you know, Derek Johnson slowed down a little bit. I think Jason Witten can do a little something. I think Cole Beasley can do a little something in the slot. I'm going to go with the Cowboys. I think Cowboys win by 8.
With or without Zeke?
Without Zeke. I'm not sold on that Kansas City defense right now.
Wow. Okay. All right. We're going to switch gears here, and we're going to talk a little NBA here as we wrap up the show here. Cavs lose again. Rob, what's up with that, bro?
Well, they're obviously struggling, but I can tell you one thing that I see just from my evaluation is that that's an old basketball team. I mean, just about all the guys they brought in. You're talking about Dwayne Wade, Derrick Rose, Jeff Green. I mean, you're talking about a lot of guys that are journeyman veterans who are on the bad side of their careers right now, and they're trying to win. They haven't figured out how to put it together. Losing Kyrie Irving was a huge blow to that basketball organization. Obviously, LeBron had another big game tonight, but he's not getting anything. Kevin Love is giving them a double-double, but he's only giving them 13 points, 13 rebounds. They would need more production out of him in order to go forward. So they're really struggling right now, and they have to find a way to either get some shooters on the perimeter. They just got too many guys there that just on the last end of their career.
They got to play some damn defense. Is what they got to do. They ain't playing. Their defense is atrocious. But if you think about it as well, I'm not going to kill them too early because, like you said, they got a lot of moving parts. And it's not like, you know, baseball where you can plug and play. It takes time to establish a identity and a rhythm and a chemistry in basketball where a guy likes the ball here as opposed to there. He likes to hedge on the screen or he likes to do this off the, you know, the high horn, that they call it. Like, I think that takes a little bit of time. But Rob is right. They got a lot of older guys. And they just don't look to be in shape. And LeBron with that ankle injury doesn't look to be in shape either. But I'm not killing him yet. And if you remember, when he first got to Miami, I believe they started that season like 9-8. Before they got on a roll. And I'm not saying they're going to get on a roll like that, but it takes a little time to build it up. So I'm not overly surprised at them with older guys trying to get together and figure it out. But, you know, they got to get it together here shortly.
Nice. All right, here let's talk about Ken. We're speaking of this slow start. Can LeBron win the MVP after the sluggish start, Rob?
Well, I mean, you know, obviously if they turn the season around, he's going to be in the mix, that's for sure. So there's obviously still a chance for that. And as JQ mentioned, there's still a lot of time for them to turn this thing around. So obviously if they turn it around, he'll find his name back in the conversation. There's no doubt about it.
Yep.
Voter fatigue. I don't think he wins it. I think he'll be, as he always is, in that top 5 or 6 because he just is a force of nature, and he'll get healthier and get better as the season goes. But I think you're going to have just other people that have ascended to that spot, like a Westbrook, to, you know, tease the next one, like a Greek Freak, like a Harden. You've got those, like a Kawhi when he comes back here, if he doesn't miss too many more games because he can't get so many far behind the games and still win MVP. But there's so much talent out there in the NBA. And they feel like almost that they just don't want to give it to him because it's the easy thing to do. He still put up good numbers, but the wins aren't there. And I don't know if they can get enough wins forward what the expectation that Cleveland has and the expectation everybody else has for them, for him to win it. So he'll be in the discussion, but I don't think he'll win the MVP.
Let's wrap this up here. Will, speaking of MVP, will Giannis win the MVP over Westbrook this season? Go, JQ.
You know what? I think that he might, and I think it's only because of what Westbrook did last year, where you looked at him bringing his team up and looking like, who else does he have on his team for them to be that good? And you're like, Adams and Oladipo, and you're like, it's like, he doesn't really have a whole lot. I think Greek Freak, if he can do that in the Eastern Conference where it's not as many good teams, and he can get them into a 2 or 3 seed, which I think he might be able to, and I know it's early, but if he can do that, I think he could win over that because they're going to take away, I think, from Westbrook because now he has Carmelo and he has Paul George. Where you look at the Greek Freak doing that with, you know, Chris Middleton and Brogdon, and, you know, he just doesn't have the same kind of support and cast. So the same thing that got Westbrook to that space last year, I think it's the same kind of momentum and detail that could get the Greek Freak to it this year.
Rob, go ahead and do your thoughts and wrap up the show, sir.
Well, I think JQ took all of my same notes. I think he copied my cheat sheet on that question. But, yeah, he basically covered all the same points I was going to cover on this issue. If Milwaukee gets over 50 wins this season, and he's the – from a number standpoint, there's not a player in the league that's putting up better numbers so far this season than the Greek Freak. So, and as JQ mentioned, having now with Carmelo and Paul George on the team, that's going to take away some of Westbrook's numbers and that kind of thing. But if he can lead that team over 50 wins this season, he will be definitely in the conversation for MVP. And probably, like I said, so far this season, I don't think you can say there's been a better player in the NBA thus far this season. Obviously, he's not on the best team. But if they can somehow get 49 or over 50 wins this season, it would definitely be in the conversation at the rate he's going for MVP. And that's it for the show, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back on air once again next Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. You don't want to miss the show on next week. Good night.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you good people for downloading the podcast. Holler at you next Wednesday.
Yes, sir. It's been good, man. I'll be in New York next Wednesday. We'll have some fun. We'll talk about that as well. We may have to adjust
New
the show, so
York.
We'll talk about it, too.
And your boys
yeah,
from New York
so either,
people.
All the time, sir. Either I may have to talk about that if I need to jump on either on Thursday. But I'll hit you guys up definitely and let you know that, too. But we'll see. But I'll try to get it in. But anyway, as always, appreciate it, fellas. Thank you for spending the night. Always enjoy talking sports with you guys. So we'll talk to you soon. See you same time, same channel next week, guys. Good night.
Good night,
yes,
people.
Good night, good people.